Well, hello.
Hello. Hello, you took me by surprise.
What do you mean, to take you by surprise?
I wasn't expecting you to start that way.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'm here.
Just?
I've beaten Storm Kira.
Did you take the car or did you just open an umbrella and fly here?
I did drive, but I don't think I've ever driven in such strong wind before.
No?
And it's quite scary when you get to an open bit. And I can feel me, but I had to battle the car a little bit. And then there was one bit where the car in another lane looked like he was battling and was going to be blown into my lane.
Ooh.
That was the only scary moment.
Yeah, it can be scary. I've often driven in big vans, and when the wind catches the side of them, it's just like hitting a sail, really.
They're the sort of things that get blown over, aren't they?
They are.
Your big trucks and vans and things. I think my little Polo isn't going to be blown over.
You should be all right.
So you might hear Storm Kira in the background of this podcast today, because it's battering your house.
So if you hear any weird noises that aren't coming from us, that's what it is.
Do you like a storm?
I like a good thunder and lightning storm.
Do you?
Love it.
You don't, the wind and the rain, not a fan of it?
No.
There's something about wind I find exciting.
What?
The wind's quite exciting, isn't it?
Like, no, if you've ever had to repair a fence, then wind is not exciting.
Well, I have had to repair a fence.
And you like the wind?
Well, my fence is now very secure.
Mm.
I say that, I'll probably get home and it'll be all over the garden in bits.
93 miles an hour, this wind.
Is it really 93 miles an hour?
Yep, Premier League games have been postponed.
I don't know, there's some... I remember the great storm of 87, of course.
Well, I wasn't here for that one.
No, I mean, I was only 10.
Yeah.
But that was exciting. It was scary. I remember, I mean, absolutely terrified in the middle of the night as this hurricane was battering the southeast of England.
Ooh.
And my dad, he worked for British Telecom.
Okay.
And he used to be on call. So if there was an emergency in the exchange, he'd get the call out.
Okay.
So the phone used to go in the middle of the night. We were sort of fairly used to that. And he wasn't initially called out because of the hurricane, but the phone rang at, I don't know, whatever time it was. And of course, it wakes the whole house up. And then I spent the rest of the night just watching this storm ripping our conservatory roof off.
What? And you enjoyed this?
Well, I'm not saying I wasn't frightened, especially when the power cut out.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. That's when it really got scary, because it was like, shit, I don't mind watching the wind and when I've got the light on, but now it's all dark.
Mm.
I didn't like that. And I always remember the next day, because my school was closed, so that was a good thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to go to school. So I went to work with my mum, and as we were walking to where she worked, I always had that, it was like a sense, my first sense of what it must be like, or what it would be like in a sort of apocalyptic scenario.
Are you exaggerating a bit here?
No, the streets were dead quiet. There was not really anyone about. There was just debris everywhere, bits of roof tile all over the street, trees down. And there was this really eerie sense of this, the aftermath of this thing.
Well, you might get a bit of that today, because this is apparently the worst storm we've had in 7 years.
I know. So I quite enjoy it. I quite like the wind battering. There's that. It's a sense of danger, isn't it? It's, you know, I'm not into extremes. This is as extreme as my life gets.
Wind.
Yeah. I'm not going to sort of go on bungee jumping or jumping out of a plane, but I'd quite happily watch a hefty wind out the window. I'd love to be by the sea.
Oh, that would be cool.
And watching the sea crash in. I mean, that's dangerous as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get swept away. I wouldn't get that. I'd be sensible.
Watch it from a distance.
What's your favourite weather?
Definitely thunder and lightning.
So what is it about thunder and lightning?
Well, I say that. I mean, the really boring answer is, if I'm working outside, I like it to be a sort of mild, sunny day. But I don't know. It's just something that I remember being in Florida once.
Yeah.
Just sitting there up late at night, pitch black, just watching this thunder and lightning storm for hours. I loved it. Don't really know why, just loved it.
I think it's a sense of danger as well, isn't it?
Like, could
if
be.
If in the middle of a massive thunderstorm, then it's a scary thing.
Mm.
We talked about it a few weeks back on the podcast about massive storms when I've been near things that have been struck by lightning. And that's terrifying, but also quite invigorating.
Yeah.
You know, the old adrenaline is rushing, isn't it? And you think, Jesus, that could have been my house going up. It's terrifying. You know, they name storms now. They never used to. In this country, no.
When did they start doing that?
I think in this country, it's only been about 5 years.
It's the Met Office, isn't it? The names.
It's the Met Office and the Met Office of Ireland, I think.
Okay.
Who named them? And they now ask the public to get involved as well.
It's a bad idea. Never ends well.
So this is only the third storm of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, so we're at sea for Kira, which is, I thought was, it looks like it should be like Ciara.
I thought it was Kyra.
Kyra. Mm. I listened to the weather woman this morning. She said Kira, so I'm going with that.
Let's go with that.
The next one's going to be, it depends, like we talk about storms being scary. Give them scary names. The next one's going to be Dennis.
Storm Dennis.
And Dennis the Menace, I suppose. He's not really scary, though, is he?
No.
Then we've got Ellen.
Yeah, again, not a scary name.
Francis, who comes after that.
No.
Gerda.
What is it, an 80-year-old storm?
Well, I've never heard the name Gerda. Is it an Irish name? Because it is with the Irish Met Office as well.
I don't know. It's not one I'm familiar with.
Then we've got Hugh. I mean, Hugh would... He sounds like he would just blow... He'd be a boring wind, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Hugh. I'm going to blow now, all right? It'd be rather... It's a massive sigh from someone called Hugh. So, I mean, you'd be sitting there, hello, I'm Hugh. That's the sort of noise that a Hugh would make. That it was a breeze, almost.
So what comes after Hugh?
After Hugh, we got Iris...
Have we had a storm Iris already?
We might have had a storm Iris. They change it. It's every year, so I don't know, Iris might be a popular storm name.
Maybe.
Then we've got... it could be Jan or Jan.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's Jan. Jan, that sounds just like... I don't know. That's like a woman on a... Like a chavvy woman out on a Saturday night.
Storm Jan.
She's Storm Jan. It's Jan here. Oh, I'm a whirlwind when I get going. if you're called Jan, I'm sorry. Then we've got Kitty. Storm Kitty.
Hmm.
I mean,
something
Kitty.
That sounds a bit threatening with something that doesn't. A storm and Kitty.
Kitty, yeah. Then we got Liam. Then we got Maura. Noah. I mean, Noah, there we're hitting the mark here. Noah.
A good one.
That's going to be a fucking hell of a storm.
Because you think biblical, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Noah.
I mean, obviously they can't give us a time frame, but when we get to... Well, I think when Jan hits...
Yep.
I'm going to start building the ark because then I've got Kitty, Liam and Maura before Noah hits. And then
dare I say, surely ark building, you should start sooner rather than later. I'd start now. I wouldn't wait for Storm Jan.
Why should I start now?
Well, I don't think building an ark is a simple, quick job, is it?
Well, I'm not making like the biblical... I'm not saving all the animals, mate. It's just for me.
A one-man ark.
It's basically a dinghy.
Room for me on there?
No. Make your own, mate.
How are we going to podcast from two different arcs?
The art of podcasting will not be important once Storm Noah hits. When you're 6 foot underwater here, mate, and I'm bobbing along, I'm not going to be thinking, shit, Ben, we haven't done a podcast this week. I'm going to be blunt about that.
Well, that's the difference between you and me.
If we get past Noah, we've got Olivia.
Yeah, it's gone again. We peaked at Noah.
It's Olivia Coleman. That's gonna be an impressive storm. Then we've got Pete. It's a South African spelling.
Oh, is it
Pete?
Why do they like? That's a strange choice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
Storm Pete. You don't get a Q.
What's the South African spelling of Pete? It's
P-I-E-T.
P-I-E-T.
Am I allowed to do that accent? I don't know. I don't know whether the South African accent is all right to do or not.
I don't know. I'm really not sure what the rules are with some accents. Some accents are definitely off the table.
I think it's all right. I think I can say I'm Pete. Storm Pete is coming.
I'm not sure the accent's all right. It's wavering.
It's one of my best.
It wanders all over the place.
Well, it's because there's a lot of different accents. You know, I've started off with the Afrikaans, but I've probably got some influence from Joburg where it's not quite as strong.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm Pete.
Well, for God's sake, what's the next one?
We don't get a Q.
Why not?
Quite too fucking hard, isn't it? Quentin.
That'll do.
Well, we don't get one. Then we've got Roisin.
Roisin. Roisin or Roisin?
Well, like it's an Irish thing, isn't it?
Roisin, then.
Like Roisin Conaty.
Yes.
Like the her, right? Then we've got Samir, Tara. You don't get a U.
Strange whims at the people of the Met Office. No Q, no U.
Then we get Vince.
Vince.
I mean, Vince, again, like that's a bus spotter's storm, isn't it? It's like, are the transport links running today? I won't blow too hard because I can't stop the trains because I want to see them. then the final one, because you don't get X, Y, or Z.
Of course.
You get finished with a W. Poor name for a storm, Willow.
Oh.
I mean, that's just... No, Willow?
Yeah.
It's like the wimpiest name for a store. Hello, I'm Willow.
Doesn't sound very threatening.
It's like a new age storm, isn't it? It's like all that be blowing is fucking dream catchers. How are you with museum visits, Ben?
I really don't enjoy going to museums.
Do you not ever think, oh, I'd like to go and see that exhibition?
No. Is there a word for someone who is just generally not interested in the past and bits and pieces history and stuff? Is it Philistine?
Philistine. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you are.
I think I am a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, man. Embrace the cultural heritage that's out there in front of you, Ben.
Yeah, what's the museum that had the Blitz thing in it, the Blitz experience?
The Imperial War Museum.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah.
And I came out of that disappointed.
What do you mean you came out of it? It's one of my favourite museums, Imperial War Museum.
Well, they hyped it up to us that you're going to go in and experience what it was like being in a bomb raid during the Blitz. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that sounds like an awesome ride. So I went in there, basically you sit down on a bench which shakes a bit and then it's finished.
What do you want? I mean, do you want actual bombs going off?
I thought just put a bit of effort into it.
What do you mean put a bit of effort into it? You're sitting in, presumably it was like an air raid shelter that you're sitting in.
Yes.
And you're getting the effects of the ground shaking as bombs are falling above you. I mean, I don't know what more you want from the experience. That's what it would have been. Do you want trench foot?
No.
I mean, what do you want?
I just thought, you know, it wasn't a very realistic experience.
How do you know it wasn't realistic?
If that was an accurate representation of what the Blitz was, then the Blitz wasn't very scary.
I can't believe you're saying
if the Blitz was a shaking seat.
Yeah, no, the war, it wasn't a scary experience, was it, the war? Never knowing, you know, whether your house was going to be bombed, whether your loved ones are coming home. No, it wasn't scary at all.
It wasn't the Blitz's fault. It was just oversold to me how good this thing was going to be, and it was really disappointing.
I don't know what you wanted. I don't know. I love the Imperial War Museum. I've been there more times than probably any other museum.
I tell you what, does the London Dungeon count? Because we went there. That's kind of a museum, isn't it? Sort of.
Sort of.
I enjoyed that. That was great.
We went, didn't we, when we were on the radio?
Yeah.
We went. And yes, it was good fun. But the only thing I hate about those things, like when I go to a museum, I like to do things in my own time.
Mm.
I like to wander around, see the things I want to see. What I hate about those experiences, like I took my little godson to Madame Tussauds a couple of years ago, and it's all the same thing. Like you're swept along and you can't stop at anything. You're always told to keep moving. Then you're kind of cattled into this little area. And it's just not a pleasant experience because their whole aim is to get as many people through the door to make as much fucking money as they can. And it's just not a pleasant experience.
Yeah,
When I first went to the London Dungeons as a kid, you didn't have like a guide take you around. You just did it on your own. That's fine. I don't need a guide.
Do you get picked on at things like the London Dungeon?
I got picked on at the Amsterdam Dungeon.
Being tall, you stand out like a sore thumb, don't you?
Yeah,
people
yeah.
People pick on us all the time at these sort of things.
The one I really hated was when I was at the Amsterdam Dungeon, and my mate basically set me up because we went into this room where you all had to sit on benches. And he fucked off at the back, and all there was one left at the front. So I was like, I'm going to get fucking picked on, aren't I?
Yep.
And I was. And this guy was shouting at me, like his face right in my face. He was like, I don't know what he was supposed to be. And I just looked at him and was like, I don't know what's going on, mate. I don't know what you want me to do. And I didn't enjoy it. I couldn't wait to get out of that room.
I bet.
And I don't like being picked on. Like I don't like, I took my cousin, when my cousin was young, I took him to the London Dungeons. And we were in this, the bit where they get, again, you don't want to be picked on, but they get people up to do all the kind of torture things.
Right, yeah.
And they had these big things that were for castration.
Ooh.
So they're telling you all about this. And my cousin, he was only probably about, I don't know, 10 or something at the time. And he fainted.
I'm not surprised.
And I saw him wobbling. And I thought, shit, is he taking a piss or is he actually going to faint?
Yeah.
And the weird thing was, like, nobody, I couldn't get there in time to catch him, but nobody went to catch him. And the whole place, it was like the Red Sea parting as he fell to the floor. And then he woke up, not realizing where he was, and let out this blood-curdling scream.
Yeah.
And he was sort of taken off into the into the background of the London Dungeons to recover.
Yeah.
You know,
I imagine regaining consciousness in a London dungeon experience would be quite terrifying.
And the thing is, my aunt was with me and my other cousin was with me. So my aunt stayed with him and I finished the whole thing with my other cousin. And it was a bloody hot day and the air conditioning wasn't working. So as we left... I mean, this wasn't an advert. If you're a tourist and you're turning up to London Dungeons, this wasn't an advert. Because as we left, there were three ambulances outside because so many people had fainted.
I think that's a great advert.
Is it?
Oh, definitely.
Is it? Oh, I want to go in there because I might end up in hospital.
If you're trying to sell it as a scary experience and there's three ambulances parked outside collecting people coming out, what a great advert for how scary your business is.
The reason I wanted to ask you about... museums is because I heard this week my mate was telling me about this museum in Iceland.
Okay.
Which I don't know why there's a museum devoted to this. It's called the Icelandic Phallological Museum.
Phallological?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that means, I'll be honest.
Well,
I'm thinking phallic.
Yes.
Phallological.
Yes.
So it's surely not a penis museum.
It's basically what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
For God's sake.
It's a museum, the only museum in the world.
It's amazing. Surprise, surprise.
It's amazing they haven't branched out, isn't it? It's the only museum in the world to contain a collection of phallic specimens belonging to all various types of mammals found just in Iceland.
Animals?
Yeah, yeah. They've got 215 male reproductive parts belonging to almost all the land and sea mammals that can be found in Iceland. Who wants to go to that?
Why does that exist?
Well, I don't know. I mean, who came up with that idea? Were they going around Iceland? Was it someone going, well, we've got sort of the natural history bit. You know, we can look at our natural, you know, ecological past. We've got that. We've got science. I don't know what else. They've probably got their own war museum. We've got all the, I tell you what, we haven't got one devoted to dicks.
We haven't.
We could really, anyone want to put money into that?
No, I think I'll pass.
And how are they getting it? How are they gathering them?
God knows.
I mean, who's phoning up like places going, look, if you get a dead seal, we haven't got one, we really need a seal dick.
So what is the point? Do they have a point, or is it just here's a bunch of dicks?
No, they don't. Some of them are rounded. They don't all have a point. Well, I suppose there's an interest. I mean, you know, if you get a blue whale one, it's probably fairly impressive, isn't it?
I'd have thought so.
It's going to take up most of the corridor, isn't it?
So, I mean, be honest. If you were walking past it and you didn't know it was there, and they said, "Oh, that's the old Phallological Museum,"
yeah.
Would you go in if you were there?
I probably would.
Do you think so?
There'd probably be something about, yeah, come on, let's have a look in there.
Mm. Well, do you know if they have a human one in there?
Doesn't say. I don't know. Mm. It says containing all the land and sea mammals that can be found in Iceland. A human is a land mammal that can be found in Iceland. So presumably there is a male specimen.
That would make sense.
But, I mean, do you want to go and find out? I mean, you know.
Is it doing well? Is it a growing business?
Well, I don't know. My mate was just telling me about it. So I looked it up. It's obviously existed for a few years. So it's obviously doing fine.
Good.
But I suppose these sort of things, they have a novelty value. I'll tell you the other weird thing I went to see once.
Yeah.
Which I think there is a main museum somewhere. I don't know why I went to see. You know, sometimes you think back on your life. You think, well, I don't know why I did that. I went to see Bodyworks. You ever heard of that?
Is this that thing with that... sorry, I don't mean this rudely, but that weird German.
Gunther von Hagens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cuts people open and stares at them.
He puts this plastic stuff in the bodies, doesn't he? To preserve it. And he slices them. And I was so intrigued by this. And I went, when it was in London, I queued 3 hours.
Blimey.
To get in. And I must admit, while I was in there, I was thinking, I don't know why I'm here.
Was it worth it?
I mean, it was interesting.
Was it worth a 3-hour queue?
I don't know. I can't tell you. No, not really. I mean, it was interesting because you'd see all the kind of internal workings of the body, but it's a weird thing. I don't know why I went to see that. There was, again, some morbid curiosity, I think,
yeah,
that got me wanting to go and see that.
Ooh, I'm not sure that's for me. I think the queue alone would have put me off, but no, I think... maybe a quick glimpse for 2 minutes, but then I'm off.
I tell you what's a weird thing is the sex museum in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bizarre place.
Now, you were just telling me you were in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I went both times.
Both times?
Yeah. Well, you got to go, and yeah, it's part of the ritual.
You go maybe once. Why did you go twice?
Just because it was funny.
Okay.
More to watch other people. I just thought it was amazing. You go into one room, and there's just this huge collection of Victorian porn.
Right. What's just that like?
Black and white photographs. It's bizarre. But you get all these tourists taking photographs, you know, standing by the board, getting a picture. You think, that's not the sort of picture I'm going to take home to my family.
No.
Do you want to see my holiday snaps? So that's me next to the Victorian porn.
I'm sort of intrigued. What's Victorian porn like?
It's this. I mean,
is it quite tame?
No, these were very explicit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sort of imagining, you know, the old cliche of showing a bit of ankle.
No, this was all very explicit pornography.
Okay.
But just Victorian era. You know, so lots of handlebar moustaches and...
Wow.
And lots of, yeah, it's a very odd thing.
I'm tempted to look it up, but I really don't want that on my search history.
Well, no, I think you should. I think you should look it up and just say it's research purposes.
Yeah.
And if it's one of those sites you have to subscribe to, it's probably tax deductible. The other thing at the sex museum, which was so bizarre, was we got, because you kind of follow this one-way route around the museum. And we got to this one bit where there was this long queue that went round these stairs. So we just joined the back of the queue. We think, okay, well, we've reached this point. And we didn't know what we were queuing for. So as the queue moves, you realise that the queue is to go into, I think it's called the Marc de Sade room.
Okay.
And I think the Marc de Sade was known for very extreme things.
Yeah.
So it's a room full of very, very extreme pornography, right? And these couple of old women, I mean, I'm talking probably in their 60s, they were pushing in. They couldn't wait to get in this room.
Putting their old glasses on.
Yeah, they were. They pushed past us. They pushed past the people in front. It was like, man, like, I know you're old and, you know, time might not be on your side, but you're still going to get in that room before it's all over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very odd, that.
I find it strange that you said there's only one way around this museum, because...
Well, I think there is. I got lost at one point, so I don't know whether there was a one-way system.
Well, you'd have thought the sex museum would definitely be a museum with more than one entrance. I was offered a new car during the week.
Well, that's good, because when I was with you last week, your car was dead.
It was dead. It seemed like good timing, but it wasn't good timing. It was terrible timing, because I just spent £100 on a new battery. So my car was fixed. But this, what's the polite way of saying it? Batty old woman approached me. What is the problem with that, is it?
Well, I mean, I'll be the judge of it. Tell me about her, and I'll see how batty she is.
She approached me and my mate during the week, and he's just bought himself a new car, so neither of us need a new car.
Right.
But she said, would you like to buy a car? I said, no, not really. I've just repaired mine and he's just got a new one. So we're good, thanks.
Was this just like someone on the street offering you a car?
Yeah.
I mean, already we're into weird territory.
We've started, see what I mean? Batty old woman.
Yeah.
And then she said, it's in great condition. I'll only want £300 for it. It's super, Nick. You can have a look.
You see, the problem I've got with calling her batty is at the moment she just sounds like some sort of scammer.
Right.
You know, like some sort of wartime black marketeer.
So we basically said, no, honestly, thank you very much for the offer, but we're fine. All good for car. Thank you. She said, really good condition. I said, no, honestly, that's fine. So anyway, we went off, did a bit of work, came back round together, and she said, oh. And we heard her muttering away. So as we walked past, we just said, you all right? And she said, I'm a bit worried about this car. And we said, why? Said, it's got its MOT next week and I don't think it's going to pass. It's got 4 bald tyres, the battery's failing and the steering's wonky.
Well, hang on, she was just trying to sell it to you a few minutes ago. This doesn't sound like a batty old woman. She knows exactly what she's doing, mate. She knows exactly what she's up to.
So she was trying to sell us a death trap for £300.
It's probably safer than your car.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So, did you have a look at it?
No, we just said, is this the same car you were telling us is in great condition that you were trying to sell us a minute ago?
She couldn't remember you.
She didn't seem to remember us, having only just spoken to us like 15 minutes earlier.
Okay, well, we're into batty.
Here we go.
A slightly battier territory now.
Yeah, so... and then...
I just need to get a full picture of this woman.
Yeah.
Attire. What was she wearing?
She was just wearing... it was a fairly hot day, I think. So she was just... No, she was fairly normally dressed.
Right, not batty clothing.
Not batty clothing.
Okay.
And then she's in the middle of complaining about the car needing an MOT. And how it's going to fail, basically, because it's knackered. And then in the middle of that, a taxi arrives. And we said, oh, you're getting a taxi? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm not getting that thing. That thing's fucked. And then just got in the taxi and drove off.
It wasn't. But are you sure it was her car?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's a cracking... I tell you what, if she'd got the right person on the right day and they were after a car and they're offered something for 300 quid, she could have been 300 quid up there. You know, she knew what she was up to then.
I know, but... if she is a scammer, she's the worst scammer in the world.
Well, while we're talking about cars,
yeah.
You know, one of my biggest pet hates,
the horn, of course,
the car horn. I mean, I understand that it's there for anyone who's ever listened to me at all will know how much I hate the car horn. It's such a horrible noise, and I understand it can be used in an emergency. When you're warning someone that there's a dangerous situation, but it's not there for hello, it's not there for goodbye, it's not there for fuck off.
I've used it for hello and fuck off. Yeah, I must admit.
But you can't differentiate between, the horn just sounds like a horn.
Well, no, if you want to tell someone to fuck off, then it's a big honk on the horn, which stays down for a few seconds, a little pip pip, that's just to say hello to someone in the street. Yeah,
I don't agree with it for hello.
I think you're more than most exposed to horns because you happen to live outside a road which is renowned for people getting in standoffs with each other coming down the street. So you must, I think you hate it because you've had more subjection to it.
But, and I don't understand it. Like, if you're in a situation where, because generally when there's a standoff, you then get a queue of cars and no one's fucking intelligent enough to think, well, I'll stand off for this for a little bit because then it'll clear.
Yeah.
You know, everyone just piles up in this queue both ways and no one can get anywhere. They think, just fucking think it through, people.
Yeah.
And then you just hear all these cars. And you think, well, what are you achieving by doing that?
Well, sometimes it just lets frustration out as well.
Well, that's not what it's there for.
I know.
It's not what it's there for.
So,
now, one of the places where the car horn is a real problem is in Mumbai.
Okay.
Apparently, it's always... You can't get anywhere without car horns going. So I love this, right? Mumbai police have come up with a way to keep unruly honking drivers in check.
How?
It's called the punishing signal.
The punishing signal?
This is fucking genius.
This sounds pretty severe.
It connects traffic lights to a decibel monitor, and if you honk your horn at over 85 decibels, which I guess is probably most horns, it will keep the red light longer. So the more you honk, the longer you wait.
Wow.
And I think this is a genius idea. Because apparently everyone just honks a red light. Again, what do you think you're going to achieve by honking a red light?
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty stupid.
The red light is there for a reason, so stop. And by honking it, it's not going to go, oh, well, I'll change. Because it's a fucking inanimate object, you morons. So I think this is a great idea. And I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to be at the forefront of a new technology.
Yeah.
As cars become more smart and intelligent and they're going to do everything for you, you're going to have self-driving cars and all of that, right? So I'd like to have this this thing fitted where if you use your horn excessively, and it's not a dangerous situation, because all the smart technology will be in a car, so it will know whether it's a dangerous situation or not.
Mm.
And if you do that, it will automatically pull you into the next available space and turn the engine off for 10 minutes.
Like a sin bin.
Like a sin bin.
Yeah.
So the more you honk, the more you go in the sin bin. And I think that would solve so many problems. People would become more patient. And wouldn't be doing all that all the fucking time.
Mm.
I think it's a terrific idea.
But you must have hit the horn by accident at times.
Never.
You've never done it by accident.
I've been driving 10 years in my car. I've used the horn once, and that was when someone was literally going to drive into my car, so I used the horn.
Right.
That's the only time I've ever, once in 10 years. I haven't felt the need to use it. And the more I hate it, the less inclined I am to use it anyway.
Now, you've been with me in the car. We've spent hours together in cars.
Yeah.
You've seen me honk a lot.
Oh, you honk all the time, mate. Do you know what I mean?
And like,
you
being the sim bin,
we would never have got to the radio station some mornings, the amount of honking you were doing.
I know.
My plan comes into action.
Every single time that I honked with you in the car,
yeah,
I always felt in my mind it was justified, and like I'd be doing this whether you're here or not. But
yeah,
then I realised, oh, Trev's here, he's going to be judging me quietly for doing that.
Sometimes judging you loudly.
You were, yeah. Quite vocal about it.
And can I, just while I'm also on cars, can I just, another thing that I've really noticed, and this might be again about just where I live, you know, Croydon in South London is not a great place to drive.
No.
It seems to me that people have their own rules. But have I missed something in the highway code? Has it been updated recently? Because no one seems to use an indicator anymore.
No?
No. The last few days I've had to drive quite a lot. Honestly, people that just move without indicating, turn off without indicating, don't indicate when they're coming round the roundabout so you don't know if they're going to pull off or not. You fucking indicate. What's the second thing, the second most important word when you first learn to drive?
That'll be mirror, signal, maneuver.
Signal.
Yeah.
It's the second fucking most important word you're told. And now, either something's changed, or I just live in a world now where people go, well, I don't need to. Why would I need to indicate? Why would I need to tell other drivers what the fuck I'm doing? Can we please, people, use your indicators?
I almost had a crash on a roundabout the other day. Completely
Were
my
you
fault.
Indicating?
I was indicating, but it was completely my fault.
What'd you
as
do?
Well. Basically, I saw a car coming round and almost colliding with another car.
Right.
So this
See you for, well, I'll tell you what, if there's one crash, I'll get in there. Nice insurance job.
So it made me really cross.
Set it for 300 quid down the road.
So I start going round the roundabout, but I'm still giving her an evil look as she's driving off. And I'm saying, don't you know how fucking roundabout works? And then I look to my right, and I've just pulled out straight in front of oncoming traffic as I'm cursing out some other driver for doing exactly the same
thing. Man alive.
I felt so stupid.
Did you get honked?
No, because I tell you what I am good at.
Yeah.
Is always apologising. If I make a mistake, I will let it known to the other. I'll go out of my way.
How
to
do you make it known?
Indicators.
Indicators? Do you mean hazard lights?
Yeah.
Or just indicators? You just left, right.
Sorry, I meant hazard lights. Yeah, both indicators. That's a good way of, sorry, lots of hand gestures to apologise. The old flat hand. I'm very good at that, I think.
I nearly had a crash on the way home from you a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
Because some twat pulled out a roundabout. Right? And again, like, I'm indicating, because that's kind of mirror signal manoeuvre.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking important. And I'm going around, I'm indicating, and this guy, he just pulls right out. And then he sort of does that thing where he stopped because he could see me coming. And then he pulled out as I got closer.
Mm.
And I had to swerve round him, go on the other lane. I checked there was nothing coming. And no apology. Nothing from the man at all. It was almost like it was my fault.
I get more annoyed, though, if other people don't have the good grace to apologise to me, or especially if they don't thank me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's one of the things that really pisses me off.
I live around a one-way system, and there's this junction where everyone's trying to fight to get into the other lane, and I always try and let people in, because I know it's a pain in the ass getting stuck in the wrong lane at the wrong moment. But when I let you in, and you don't so much as put the hazards on for a second, give me a little thank you.
Little thank you.
Oh, I want to. Sometimes I put my lights on full beam and just say, right, have this for the next 10 minutes.
The thing is, it doesn't take much to say thank you, does it?
No.
Just a little hand up, a little bit of the hazards, just a little thank you. But the other thing that annoys me is pedestrians that don't thank you when you let them across a crossing.
Well, legally, we are obliged to stop for zebra crossings.
But
so.
I always thank people.
So do I.
Always, you know, if I'm crossing a crossing, someone stopped, put my hand up. Thanks, mate.
Mm.
And it really bugs me when people don't. I know they're not obliged to, but it's just, if the world just all had a bit more manners in general, wouldn't it be a happier place if we went, oh, cheers, mate, thank you, nice one. Wouldn't that be better? I sometimes mouth thank you as well.
Oh, I do.
You know, thank you, and you do really sort of over the top, thank you. You look like sort
that
of a
weird
white
voice
moron.
We put on when we someone can't hear you,
yeah,
so you could just say it in your normal voice, but you don't, you sort of go, thank you.
Yeah, or you do it like extra loud, and then everyone else around you thinks you're a nutter because no one else is thanking anyone. So who's he thanking? You go, thank you.
Oh, the one thing I don't like, by the way, about the public thanking people,
it
always gets on my tits, and I don't know why, when people thank the bus driver when they get off.
Oh, that, you don't like that?
No, that gets on my nerves, and I can't explain it, because I'm with you 100% of the way on everything else, but stop thanking the bus driver. It gets on my nerves.
Do you know what? It's a weird thing. I tell you, I agree with you to an extent.
Okay.
Right? I think in London, it's slightly a weird thing, and particularly when you're on a bus where you get off the middle door.
Yeah.
If you're on a bus that only has a door at the front, and you have to pass the driver, I will thank them.
Mm. I think they're doing it not for the driver. I think when they're getting off the middle door and they shout, thank you, driver, I think that's for everyone else to know what a great person they are. Because look at me, I thank the driver.
I often notice, though, that it's generally...
Wankers.
Mate, honestly, this is why the world's... your generation, this is why it's all falling into bits. This is why it's all going to shit. Because I notice it's a lot older people do it. Yeah. Older people who have got manners, do you know what I mean? You get the old doddery man who's taking a while to get off the bus, and he's like, thank you, driver!
No.
Thank you, driver! Thank you very much!
Attention seeking.
You know, then you get the slightly batty old woman who probably is trying to sell a car.
Probably.
But she's hobbling off the bus, and she's like, thank you, driver! Thank you! And I kind of like that. There's a sweetness about that. Do you know what I mean? They've still got that community spirit. And when I used to work in Oxford, I used to have to get this little bus into where I worked. And it was one of those buses where you get off and on at the same door at the front. Everyone thanked the driver because it was like this community, and they all seemed to know the driver, all the regulars. They all knew the driver anyway by name. So it would have been weird if I hadn't have thanked the driver, because they would have just thought, you know, it's weird in Oxford. They do have a little bit of a country accent.
Mm.
And they go, who's he then? Who's he coming up from the big smoke with his unpleasant ways? Do you know what I mean? So it's like, thank the driver. Thank you very much.
If you're gonna walk past the driver and get off, then maybe just say, you know, quietly, thanks, mate, and then just get off.
Well, how quietly? He's got to hear it.
It's the announcement that the whole bus has to hear.
But yeah, but if you're getting off, if you're getting off in the middle door... He's not going to hear it if you're just getting off going, thank you. He's not going to hear it.
No, I don't like it.
The other thing, sorry, just while I'm on this rant, the other thing that really pisses me off is people. But I grew up in a world where you rung the bell once. It used to have a thing on the bell, ring once.
Yeah.
It's like, you can hear the bell's been fucking rung. It's even got a thing now up that says stopping. You know the bell's been rung, and yet people still ring the bell 4, 5, 6 fucking times. It's stopping. We know it's stopping. Stop ringing the bell. That does my head in.
I can tell.
You know, last week on the podcast, we were talking about celebrity messages.
Yes.
That you can get for your birthday. And I'd found this American site called Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And we said at the time that a lot of them were obviously American. They had a few English people on.
Yep.
Well, thanks very much to Danny, who's been a regular listener to us for quite some time. And he's very supportive, and we're very grateful
for
that. So he got in touch this week to say that there is an English site that does these.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if they're on it, actually. Aha, they're more well, Norwegian. I'll have a look for you. And he said that he'd actually had one done for his wife.
Nice.
For his wife's birthday. And it was the one and only Pat Sharp.
Mr. Funhouse.
Mr. Funhouse, who I grew up with. I mean, I grew up in a world where Pat Sharp was on Capital Radio in the morning. And... it was Pat Sharp plays all the hits. I'm sure you'd always go, Pat Sharp, whoop, whoop. I'm sure you always had to do that.
Heard him on the radio, but I only know him from Funhouse.
You only know him from, different era.
Yeah.
Different era. Oh, I used to love him. In the school holidays, he used to come on after Chris Tarrant in the morning. And there's a thing that this is quite a sad thing that I still do. Right, so at the end of the Chris Tarrant show, just before Pat Sharp, they used to play this little jingle just to say what was coming up, and I used to try and copy the voice doing it.
Right,
and sometimes I'm walking around the house, and I still find myself saying, "Next, the new Sharp selection and the top 10 of 10," and I still find myself doing that. The new Sharp selection,
okay.
So, and the top 10 at 10. I mean, it was iconic.
You were working on the voiceover stuff early.
Oh yeah. So, Danny's actually sent us the message.
Brilliant.
That he had done for his wife. Should we ever listen?
definitely.
Hello, Anne. How are you? This is Pat Sharp with a little video message for you. Now, somebody has got in touch to tell me that you're 36. Now, I don't know if that means it's your 36th birthday, or if I've missed it, or if I'm early, or if I should just wish you happy 37th and be done with it. But either way, Anne, you are 36, in case you didn't know. You've got two kids.
She knows.
Maisie and Hadley. Nice names. I like that. And you're a big fan of Robbie Williams and Take That, and you also loved the Funhouse back in the day, for which I thank you. That's marvellous. Anyway, love from Danny and Macy and Hadley. So I'm guessing Danny is your man who sent the instructions for me.
And the
so
check.
I've got it all right, Danny. Danny, Macy and Hadley and Mum and Dad, Mark and Nick. There we are. Those are the people who love you loads. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. Happy New Year. Happy Easter. Let's rerun the fun and I'll have Robbie and the boys sent round. All the best and bye for now.
Well, there you go.
I like how he covered all the bases.
He did, didn't he?
Happy Christmas, New Year, Happy Hanukkah.
He didn't do Hanukkah. Didn't do that. I tell you what, I think Danny paid 15 quid for that. And it was not just a birthday message. As you say, you can play that again at Christmas, in the Happy New Year. I mean, it's value for money old Pat Sharp's giving there, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's going to send Robbie and the boys round. I couldn't tell whether that was a threat.
Yeah, it did sound a bit
not.
Threatening, didn't it?
I'm going to send Robbie and the boys. He didn't say which Robbie, did he?
No.
Obviously, Anne's a fan of Robbie Williams, but I don't think he's sending them round.
Mm.
Sounds like he's going to send the Robbie and the boys going around. Yeah, you will have fun in that fucking house. But that was brilliant. Thank you very much, Danny.
Cheers,
but
Danny.
We've been having a look at who else is on this. So this is the English site. Some fairly big names on this.
I've had a little look, and I think last week I said I would be amazed if Katie Price wasn't on this. And she's not.
She's not on it.
So I am amazed.
Wow. I mean, she perhaps she just doesn't know about it, you know.
You think?
Amir Khan's on there.
And he's got some price tag on him.
How much is he?
He's 390 quid.
300, not well, he's worth that though, isn't he? Most of the ones I've looked at are all sort of 30 quid, 25 to 30 quid. Again, I said last week, I ain't got much of a budget. I love the fact they got a lot of impersonators and lookalikes.
Yeah.
You can get a Ricky Gervais lookalike for 30 quid. I'd be a bit disappointed if I just got a lookalike.
Is that Tim Oliver?
It doesn't say his name. He's just down as Ricky Gervais lookalike.
He lives around here, you know.
Near you?
Yeah.
Does he?
I don't have to pay 30 quid. I can just ambush him in Sainsbury's.
Well, that would be weird though, wouldn't it? You should do that though. Like, when it's my birthday coming up, when you see him in Sainsbury's, just say, mate, I know online you charge 30 quid, but I'll tell you what, if I use my phone, can you just do a little he probably wouldn't do it, would he?
Yeah, I'll say I'll pay for some of your shopping.
Willie Thorne, he's on there. You like your snooker.
Yeah.
He's only 25 quid.
Daniela Westbrook, 20 quid.
20 quid for Daniela Westbrook. I mean, she used to be big, didn't she?
Used to be.
So I'm glad to...
Sorry, that was really bitchy.
Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, I think she's in a better place now.
Yeah,
she's good.
You can have a Rodney Trotter impersonator who looks nothing like him.
Now, isn't that weird, right? It looks from a distance where I am. It looks a little bit like him, but not enough to be fooled.
No.
And the more I look at the picture, the more like...
I'll tell you who he does look like. What's the guy? One of the brothers from Friday Night Dinner.
Oh, Tom Rosenthal.
That's him. He looks like him.
Oh, I'll tell you who else he looks like from this angle. Steph McGovern.
I'm not sure who Steph McGovern is.
Okay. She was like the finance reporter on BBC Breakfast or something. She's quite big now. She's moving to Channel 4.
Okay.
Yeah, from here, it looks a little bit like that. And you mentioned the Rodney lookalike. You actually do get Boise, John Chalice, for 30 quid.
Yeah. How much is the Rodney? Oh, 15 quid.
I was 15 quid.
Get what you pay for.
Well, that's almost it for another Trev and Ben podcast.
Nearly done.
Just before we finish up, just a couple of little things. Last week, as we finished the podcast, we were looking forward to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling you about Fiona the Hippo,
mm-hmm.
who had chosen who was going to win the Super Bowl by vomiting on the right logo.
Yeah.
The logo of the team she deemed was going to be the winner.
Yes.
We discussed last week how much that was a conscious effort. We don't know. we don't know. But she predicted that the Kansas City Chiefs would win.
And it wasn't looking good for them.
Wasn't it?
No, it was a hell of a comeback story.
Well, I didn't really follow it, to be honest.
Oh, they were losing.
Were they?
Yeah, it's one of the greatest comeback stories in Super Bowl history.
Well, there you go. You see, that was the magic of the hippo vomit.
Yeah. That's a weird sentence.
Perhaps they had a little bit in the dressing room. Like a little bowl of it.
Maybe.
I mean, imagine that. I doubt that happened.
No, I think they get, like, probably energy drinks at halftime, not a bowl of hippo vomit. But yeah.
You wouldn't tell the players, though, would you? I'd take this. It's an energy drink. Tastes a little bit like muddy. A
bit chunky.
Yeah, it's a bit. Yeah, no, just have it. It'll be good for you. And then second half, do they have halves or is it quarters? What do they do?
I don't know.
I'm not really a big follower of the American football. I'm more a follower of Fiona the Hippo.
I think they have quarters or thirds. I don't know.
They definitely don't have thirds. They definitely don't have thirds. It's quarters or halves.
Okay.
But anyway, the Kansas City Chiefs won, was it 32-20?
Something like that.
I don't know what it means, but they won. So Fiona the Hippo was spot on. So I'm going to follow Fiona the Hippo a little bit more now.
Mm.
Start putting some money on the results and start going to Cincinnati Zoo and making a vomit on all kinds of things. And the other thing I wanted to just tell you before we went is I had a message this week from someone who's been listening to our podcast, someone who knows me.
Right.
And I got this message from them. It says, I've been listening to your podcast. I might have to stop listening to it at night for two reasons. One, it kept me up the other night listening to one of them. I ended up looking up Rasputin's penis. I told you, if he won that podcast, once you've heard that, you're going to Google it.
Yeah.
And apparently that kept him up. And he said, the other thing was, were you ever talking about horses and bullfrogs? Because I had a dream, Trev, that your face turned into a horse and a bullfrog.
Okay, that's strange.
I said to him, I don't remember us talking about a bull or a bullfrog or a horse.
Not to my memory, no.
We did talk about horse on the Manimal episode.
Yes.
I don't know if we mentioned frog, we may have done.
Don't remember.
But I'm now entering people's dreams.
That is weird, isn't
which
it?
Which is a bit odd, isn't it?
I think whenever you listen to something as you're dozing off, it can invade your dreams a bit.
Yeah, I quite like that, though. But if you know, like, this is a mate of mine, if you know that person, that might be a bit weird.
Mm.
Like, if you're listening to, I don't know, the Ricky Gervais podcast, I don't personally know those people, so they might sort of enter my dreams a little bit, but it's not quite as disturbing as when you actually know someone and you're seeing a mate that you've known for 30 years and their face is turning into a horse and a bullfrog. That's probably quite disturbing.
Well, it's nice to know that the podcast is having an effect on people.
But my suggestion now is listen to this at night as you go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I quite like the idea that we might be in your dream. So if you're in a dream state now. Hello?
Oh, don't go creepy on them.
Oh.
Oh, Trev, stop that. It's making me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, you're dreaming about that, are you? I don't think that's a wise thing to be dreaming about at this time of night.
Can I give people nightmares?
I tell you what. Imagine a scene. Imagine a scene where I'm just tickling your chin.
Oh.
I'm tickling your chin right now. And I've got a face like a horse. Standing over your bed now.
I don't like it. I think I need a shower.
Right, well, that's just about it. Thank you very much for downloading. Thank you for listening. Do keep getting in touch. We love hearing from you. We're on Twitter @TrevandBen. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.